People Helping People, a program bridging the community with local organizations and nonprofits making a difference in the Bay Area. If you or someone you know would like to get your messages on People Helping People, please email us at contact@poly923fm.com or theycpeoplehelpingpeople@gmail.com. Here are your hosts, Larry Walling and Greg Pirillo.
Hello and welcome to People Helping People on Bali 92.3 FM. My name is Greg and I have with me my co-host and dear friend, Larry.
I am, aren't I?
A dear friend.
I am, and I consider you the same.
I'm happy to be with you today.
I'm happy to be with you. I, as you know, had a really crappy morning before I came into the studio.
Yeah, and I saw it. You are rarely in a dark space when I see you. And today you came in a bit of a darker space.
I did. I was under a cloud, but I'm better now that I got here and we've had a chance to chat.
Yeah.
It always puts me in a better mood.
It's funny because we both were off air talking about the different things we wanted to discuss on the show today.
Yeah.
And this time of year, we usually have a lot of guests. So when we have an open week where we could just talk about different topics, we tend to discuss it off air. And we were both speaking out of frustration over some of the things that we see in the media and hear in the media and things that are happening at the moment that, you know, I feel like every day is a different news story that you need to be disappointed about or sad about. You mentioned that crash, right?
The limo crash in New York State, yeah.
18 people?
18, I believe it was 18 in the vehicle itself and two pedestrians.
That died.
They all died.
That's a major crash. In a limo, I guess?
A limo. It was a 2001 Ford something. Stretch. It was a stretch.
I guess you look at it as, you know, whether it's going to be negative headlines because of something political or whether it's something that happens that we all can feel bad about because it was just life. And this is one of those cases where life went in a bad way. But then you think about all the things that happen every day that we don't see in the papers, right? Different people that have unfortunate things happen to them. How often that happens, but because, you know, it's not a major news story. Yeah. It seems that every day you're reaching for positive things to feel good about at the end of it.
I seem to reach and never seem to grab onto any.
And that's tough because you're a very positive-minded person.
I am.
So am I.
I am. Yes, you are.
It's hard to be positive these days, but we need to keep a bright, positive outlook on
life.
Have to be, yes. What good is it to live life if you cannot live and enjoy those little things that life is all about?
I absolutely agree, yeah.
We have to find those things. We have to seek those silver linings and we have to seek those golden moments. And when you're in them, this is something I've learned, Larry, by the way. I've tried to learn that in those moments where you do feel some sort of contentment and joy, you have to sort of lock yourself into those moments and not be affected by the negativity that's surrounding you.
Yeah.
Because no matter what you do, you check your phone and there's something negative. You watch TV and there's something negative. You talk to somebody in public, there's something. There's so many reasons to be drawn into this black hole. And we need to find
good
more reasons.
Good way to describe it.
Right.
Black hole, you're right.
But what do you do? How do you keep positive in times when it's very difficult to?
I don't have an answer to that.
You don't. What do you do?
I usually do.
What is that? What do you do when you're down? What is your way of coping?
I'm down typically. If I'm down at all, it's usually circumstances, of course. Mm-hmm. But in those circumstances, I always say, I'm not going to let this get me down. I can't really dwell on this and let it just bring me down. Mm-hmm. That's basically what pulls me out. I am a person of faith too, so that's the biggest part of my life.
So you turn a lot of times to your faith.
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
In fact, I always do. But even so, I mean, you can be a follower of Christ, in which I am. And even in knowing that full well, I'm still human.
Yeah.
I'm like anybody else.
We're flawed.
We're all the same. And I struggle with a lot of different things, but I just choose not to let me tear me down. Sometimes it gets the better of you, you know, but you have to just not dwell on it. And when you take your mind off of it and think about other people and other things that are going on.
Yeah.
Where, and we can always do this, where they're much worse off than what we are.
I also think it's important to talk, right?
Always important to talk, yeah.
Because I find, and I really have always been one that internalizes a lot of my grief, right?
You do, don't you?
I do, and it's been my whole life.
I saw it on your face this morning.
It's my whole life, though. I've always been someone that takes it on myself because I don't like to give.
There is a word. What's the word for that? You told me.
What?
When you take it on yourself, are you kind of like...
internalize it?
Well, you take it on. I mean, you take on other people's burdens. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Well, that's...
There's a name for that.
Oh, empathic.
Yes.
I've always been an empathic person. But the thing that I have always done was I've always been able to kind of contain it, kind of bottle it, and then just deal with it on my own, right? And then what I've found as I've gotten older, as you know, is when you get older, you're things
I'm sorry.
Change, right?
I thought I heard you say something a little derogatory toward me.
No, me.
As I would know.
Because I've gotten older now.
Oh, okay.
And if I've gotten older, I'm sure you've gotten older. I don't think you've stopped. But
I try to stop it, but it won't
I've been
work.
Trying too. I find that's a lost.
It doesn't
cause.
Work.
But I found as I've gotten older, I've become more. I mean, your feelings change, right? Like, and your emotions are different. My dad was telling me a couple of weeks ago when we did this 50th anniversary party for him, and it took a lot for my dad to cry. Only maybe two times.
50
I've seen him
years
cry.
He's been married. 50.
Yeah, they got married for we had their 50th
oh
anniversary
gosh.
Party a couple
God
weeks back.
God bless him.
And
wow,
he said, you know, I saw him maybe cry two or three times in my life, and it was when you know with the death of his brother, death of his mother, and his sister. Mm. But other than that, my dad's not one that he's an emotional guy, but he's not somebody who will show that. Mm-hmm. And he said he's finding now that he gets choked up and cries more when things happen, good things happen, because he realizes how. You know, there's not an unlimited amount of those times left in his life.
True, that's true.
And I, when I saw that change in him, an invisible change, it sort of was a vulnerability that I respected because I always kind of followed his lead. Like, you got to mm-hmm. be the man, you got to be the one who shoulders the load and show everybody that you're going to carry it on even when things aren't good.
Yeah.
But doing all that is still good and fine, but you still have to succumb to that weakness sometimes. And what I've found is the only way I really get through it is being able to talk to people who I really can talk to, like yourself, to get those, to work through it, just talk through it. Cause hearing yourself say things sometimes makes you realize.
Yeah,
things,
that's
right?
true. And so it's therapy. It's therapeutic.
Yeah.
It is.
Because think about how often you'll give someone advice, right, about something. Mm-hmm. And you could never give yourself that same advice, right? You just don't see things the same when it's you.
It's true.
When it's other people, you see it more clearly.
Yeah.
So you're
yeah.
more apt to be like, this is what you need to do. But if it came down to it, you wouldn't have been able to give yourself that advice. So telling people something that you know you feel sometimes does bring clarity in your own life.
It does.
And I think that's a lot of it. I feel I'm becoming more open with certain people specifically about it as a form of therapy, like you said.
Have you ever noticed with me, because I know you, I mean, we watch each other, I mean, for cues and stuff like that in the show. But have you ever looked at my face and noticed that I'm kind of like scowling or I look really serious at any moment?
Yes, absolutely.
I do that a lot and people have said that. And
you'll kind of like slant your eyes and you'll look off a little bit with this look of like, I have something to say, but I don't know how to say it. Like that type of a look.
Okay.
Like a disturbed look.
Well, disturbed is true. And I've been told this actually pretty often. And they say, what are you upset about? Or are you sad? And I say, I'm sorry, but no, not at all. I said, why do I look like it? And they said, yeah. It's confusing because I like you, you and I are very much alike.
Yeah.
We both know that.
Yeah.
And like you, you know, I internalize a lot and I'm always thinking. And when I'm thinking about different things, I might have this really serious look on my face. But people take it the wrong way and they think that I'm upset or sad, but not really at all. It's just that I'm really intense about what I'm thinking about.
Right.
That kind of thing.
Well, I also think there's something about, I was just looking on my phone because I know that I've read that there's a term for it. But sometimes people find comfort in sadness, right? Like they like that they could have a good cry, right? Or like an emotional day where you can just let yourself soak it in and just to kind of confront it and move on. But it's hard. It's hard when everything around you is always negative to be positive. And that was really the whole, I know we've said this so many weeks, but this is the premise of this show, is to try and get people to do good things to make you feel better. Because sometimes the path to feeling better is doing good by others, because you start thinking like there's a bigger purpose to your actions, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not yourself. It's not your specific family, but you're helping other people, and improving other people's lives can help improve your own. I think, you know, that's why this show is always a bit therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it gives me that sense.
And so if you didn't know it already, we're in therapy right now.
Yeah, we are. We're all, everybody listening is with us in therapy. Yeah, and I'm sure,
big therapy session.
I'm sure if we had the opportunity to open the phone lines right now and this wasn't pre-recorded, we would hear a lot of people sharing a lot
of sentiments. That's what I miss about a live show.
Yeah. But, you know, there was, we were talking other stuff off air about the different times we're in. And I don't think we've spoken about this enough. We've entered an age where nothing is private anymore. In the 80s, 70s, 80s, and even the 90s, into the late 90s, you could really kind of exist in two different worlds, right? You could be very private in your personal life and very public in your work life and your social life. Mm-hmm. And you were able to sort of maintain this certain level of privacy, no matter what you did in your job or in your career, right?
Or when you were younger.
Yeah, but now it's one and the same.
Yeah.
Everything is linked together, whether it's your career with LinkedIn and all your different social media accounts, or whether it's your personal life and what you're doing, it's all out there. Mm-hmm. And almost everything you do is tracked in some way, shape, or form. So if somebody wanted to dig up something about you, they will find it.
Oh yeah, for some, sure.
If they work hard enough, they can find it.
Yeah.
Which has really changed, I think, a lot of why, like, more private people have become even more private. Private people have become even more private because of this. Mm-hmm. Because they don't want to expose, not necessarily bad things, but things might be embarrassing for them, things that they might not want others to know about, now at any given time can become public.
Absolutely.
It's a tough time for people.
Yeah.
And I think we're still learning that there's a lot of bad people out there, people that are part of our lives every day that are they call them trolls, you know, where it's like constantly negative. And that negativity really brings people down.
It does.
And it's hard. It's hard to try and remain positive and on the straight and narrow with when you have these people trying to drag you down.
When I think about, seriously, as humans, is there a one of us in existence today, or has there ever been anybody that has not screwed up in their past?
No.
And seriously, a lot of these people that are dredging up crap from other people's past are just as guilty or more guilty than the people that they're trying to assassinate.
It's such a hypocrisy.
It really is. And that's my biggest complaint about all of it.
Well, think of the media, right? Like, I'm trying to think of that guy. So Matt Lauer, right? Or Brian Williams is another one, right? Mm-hmm. Who lied. Mm-hmm. Matt Lauer was with the sexual harassment allegations, right? And he was fired. These are people that are reporting on things every day that we trust, right? As a figurehead on the news channels, we trust that they're giving us the straight answer. They're telling us the facts. In some cases, I always sense that it's not, and it's really a biased report, and I hear their opinions when there shouldn't be. And these same people that are lambasting all these other politicians and figures are equally as flawed and have done bad things. And when the camera turns on them, they disappear.
Yeah.
They don't face the music. They just disappear.
Yeah.
And they've ignored that it ever happened. And this is why I say it's a new era, because those people that are reporting all this negativity, if you dug into their closets, just like every one of us, you will find something that they are not proud of, that they would rather not, the lid not come off.
And if it had, and they were in politics, I mean, they would be run out of town on the rail.
Right.
Just like everybody else are trying to prosecute or persecute, I mean.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's such a really weird...
And that is a hypocrisy in it all.
It is. It's a weird juxtaposition of life.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're seeing that every one of us... I mean, look, we are all, as you being somebody of faith, you know, we're all flawed, right? Every one of us are flawed. And when I say that...
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to include myself in that.
We can try all we want to do the right thing every time.
You're right.
And there are times where we don't.
Yeah.
Right? And it might not even be something that really affects anyone else, and it might not hurt anybody per se. Mm-hmm. You might not know it's hurting somebody in some cases, but sometimes we can be selfish. We do things based on what
absolutely.
We want. As good as you might think you are, you have made mistakes, every single one of us. And we've made terrible decisions. And you wouldn't want those bad decisions you made a year, 2 years, 3 years ago to constantly be thrown up in your face, right? But that's what's come down to, is that those bad decisions linger now. And you have to hold them. It's almost like you're sandbagging your mistakes. And someday somebody might come and expose you.
Yeah.
That's a crazy thing to think about.
You know, but it's true though.
And these are things that might not even be a big deal to most people. Mm-hmm. But at some point, it might show itself as a big deal.
You think about life, our lives in our past. And I would think, you know, hopefully when we become older and more mature, more wise, that we've seen the past and the mistakes that we've made and learn by them so we don't repeat those past mistakes and we become better people for it.
Yeah.
And this is what happens to a lot of people that are decent people. They did screw up in their past, but they are better because of it, because they don't repeat those mistakes like we all do, make mistakes. And that's what's wrong about it too.
Yeah.
Because you're holding them accountable for their past when they're trying to make an improvement on their past, and you're not allowing them to do that.
Yeah. And in some cases, what is the length of punishment, right? Like
for
these guys,
how much?
Like these guys that have made bad mistakes, right? That have been maybe blackballed from their respective careers, comedians, actors, musicians, politicians that have been blackballed for things they've done in their history. And when they were younger, when they were stupid, and now they can't work.
Stupid's a good word.
So people go to prison, right? And when they come out of prison, they're integrated back into society, and it takes them time to get back and find a job because no one wants to hire a former criminal. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's almost like people who don't do time are being held to the same sort of integration standards that these other criminals have.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure if that's good or bad, but let's say they are deserving of what their punishment was. What is the statute of limitations now that we allow them to make amends and come back into? Because you can't tell somebody that because you made this terrible mistake and you've suffered and you've paid the price that you can't ever go back to do what you wanted to. If you were a comedian, you should be allowed to go back at some point and make people laugh again. And if you were an actor, that's what you do. How can you tell somebody that you can't go back into society and try again? Because we all have made these mistakes. That's really where I get discouraged.
I agree with you on most of that. Mm-hmm. There are a certain bit of things like pedophilia, let's take. Mm-hmm. Take that for an example.
Okay.
Where I would never trust a pedophile with my child
back
again.
But would you never allow them back integrated into society in any way?
Not in the same way.
Well,
when it comes to being around children,
think you should be around children, but how?
That's what I mean. That's what I'm talking about.
Now, again, a lot of these people feel it's a condition, right? Like something that they can't control.
Right.
Right. And maybe it's keeping them away from the
temptation.
Temptation is what it takes.
Yeah.
But
that's what I mean.
But what do you do at that point? When do you tell them it's okay to try and live a life again because they still are alive? They still need to wake up every day, and something needs to, how else do you keep them at
Well, okay, I mean, live a life, but you can't live it the way you used to live it, that kind of thing, and you can't expect to. Yeah. It's just like even with anything that we do, if it's a serious offense, I'm not talking about petty stuff, I'm talking about serious offenses.
Worst of the worst.
Yeah, I mean, a bank robber, for instance, are you going to trust him with your money after he's out of prison, even though he's changed his
way? Yeah, but on the other hand, like, that's not, a bank robber is something that you don't know the desperation that got them to where they were. Something that might have been a decent.
Well, that's true, but you'd have to look at the pattern, though. There's a pattern to everything, so you have to look at the extent of the pattern.
This is the problem I have. Okay. I look at every.
It's a lifestyle.
I look at any human being that's made a mistake, and when you don't know what they did and you just talk to them and you hear them talk as a human and you think that this was somebody's son, this was somebody who at one point in their lives were an adorable little kid that everybody loved, and now they're just completely despised and cast-offs in society, I tend to look at the human and say, this person is flawed and they did make terrible mistakes, but at the core of it, there's something good, inherently good.
I agree with what you're saying there. Yeah. I mean, I do. I'm the same way.
I wish it's almost to me, it's sometimes not a good thing because I tend to see it as this person has some goodness in them. And in some cases, maybe they don't, but I want to believe there is.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Does anybody really want to be hated and disliked?
No. But we all, there's always a consequence to our actions. Though,
yes.
Good or bad.
Yeah.
And that's right. What they're paying for.
You're right.
Basically, that's what they're paying for. And people have to remember that, you know, if we do something, usually when it's bad, there's going to be a consequence.
But you pay the price, right?
Yes.
So let's use the sample of the worst cases of like somebody who goes to jail, serves their time, and in some cases, abuse, rape, child abuse. Mm-hmm. Those characters are never really accepted again, right? Because they're sexual,
I believe not. Yeah.
And they do their time, they're 5 to 10 years in prison, and then they come back out and they can't live within a certain amount of feet from a school. They can't be around children. They can't. So it's hard, and no one ever wants to hire them. So they end up doing jobs that no one wants to do to make money. And then they can't really afford to live. So they live in a halfway home or they live with other people that enable them because they're around other folks that are struggling the same way. So if they've done their time, is that not enough punishment? Then why are we not, if that's not enough and they're going to continue to pay the price, then why wouldn't we just keep them in jail longer? And at least there they can have somewhat of a normal existence. I think there's some flaws to the system as well.
There absolutely is. But then again, like I said before, it's the severity of the crime. You know, that justifies the, you know, the, what they're going to get for it.
Yeah.
And that could last a lifetime. But, you know, basically, it's like I said, it's not for the petty stuff. It's for the more serious things. And we have to remember, people, if we're going to make a choice, make sure it's the right one, because you're going to be held accountable for that in the future, one day. And that's it. It's a consequence. We all have to suffer that. All of us. Nobody's exempt from that.
Right.
No one. And it just depends on how serious the offense is. You know, granted, you know, I don't like seeing anybody, you know, being chastised for the rest of their life or being an outcast. But if it's something that's really, really serious, I have to think, you knew that.
There's a great show. Are you familiar with Piers Morgan?
I don't watch TV.
He's a talk show host, a British journalist / personality.
Not really.
He has a show called Serial Killer. And what he does is he sits and talks to people who are on death row, who were basically violent killers or murderers, and some serial killers. And what he does is he sits and he just talks to them like a normal person and tries to get out their human side and then get to the bottom of what they were thinking and why they did what they did, and give them a chance to speak their mind about whatever happened and give their side of the story. And the show is quite brilliant. If you've not seen it, it's on, I forget what channel.
Is it Netflix or is it on?
It's on Bravo or TLC or ID channel or one of those, right?
It's on a cable channel.
Yeah. And maybe it's Oxygen it's on. But anyway, he sits with this, each week he sits with this person and he sits in a room, an empty room. The person's not wearing cuffs. They're sitting there like a normal human. And he talks to them. And he usually starts off by saying, like, tell me about your past. Tell me about your childhood. Tell me about, like, and when you hear these guys talk and you don't hear anything of the violence or of the bad things they've done. And you hear the story of, you know, when they got married or when they, you know, they fell in love or when they, you know, when they were in a better place. And you see them radiate a little bit, you forget that you're dealing with a serial killer, right? You forget that this person has been convicted of a very, very serious crime or crimes. But you start to see the human side of them. You see this like sort of sadness in their eyes and you see that they do regret. In some cases, they get very cold when they're talking about and disconnected from what they did.
Yeah.
And that's when you really can kind of come back and say like, all right, this person belongs in prison because they look very dangerous. But there are some that just live their whole rest of their lives in regret and, you know, did something bad based on an action or an emotion that they couldn't control. And in a lot of cases, they feel it was something that, you know, happened regardless of how much they tried not to do it because they were almost internally forced to do these things. But my empathic side allows me sometimes to see that person as that innocent, one-time innocent person. At one point, they weren't a serial killer. They weren't a monster. They were a normal person, and something had to happen in their lives that triggered, as a child, when they were innocent, that triggered this life of crime and these bad things. And usually it's abuse as a child or something really bad that happened to them that was never addressed. So it goes back onto us. The only way we're going to really be able to manage this is if we all pay attention to our kids and do the right thing so that they grow up to see the value of living a normal life and not being put into, you know, prison for the rest of their lives because of decisions they made based on their upbringing.
Hopefully, but not always.
Not always.
Yep. Even so, even with all those things in place, they still can go on and do those types of things sometimes.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's a lot more rare, of course.
Yeah.
But it happens.
I think it all really comes back around to one thing for me, is that we need to be sensitive to the fact that somebody else, everybody is somebody's monster, right? So somebody might look at you and you might be the best person in the world, and there's somebody who might not think you're the best person
in
the
true,
world,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And there are chances that you're going to make mistakes, that you're going to regret, that are going to be held against you for the rest of your life because of one bad decision. We've all made bad decisions, right? But it's also impossible to judge everyone because we've all got something that we don't want exposed or we don't want others to know about. In some cases, it's just embarrassing. It's nothing really awful, but it's embarrassment for ourselves.
Yeah.
And you don't want people to know your weaknesses.
True.
But we got to remember that with social media, everything stays out there. You
better
put it out there and it's not going away. You could delete it, but it still existed and somebody might have screenshot it. Somebody's putting it away for later. You just don't know when it's going to come back. Because if it went out there, it's out there. It's out there in the ether, folks. You can't go back and take it back.
No, you
can't. Delete it all you want, but it still existed out there.
Yeah, it is.
That's crazy. So you got to remember that social media has really changed the whole game here.
Gosh.
I think it's changed it for the worst.
What have I done?
Do you not think it's changed for the worst? Or do you think it's some
positive? Are you kidding? Look who you're talking to. What do I always say?
Yeah.
Absolutely. It has changed for the worst. I can't blame it all on social media, but a majority of it I can. But
anything attached to media? We're in media, so I should be careful.
We're in media, but we're not in that type. I mean, you and I, we share the facts.
Yes.
We're non-biased, we really are. Even though we want to be at times, on this show, we're unbiased.
Yes.
And that's the only way
we share our opinions at times, but it's not necessarily
we're not trying to make up anybody's minds to believe what we believe, though.
Exactly.
But we bring something else, you know, to the table. This show does.
Yeah.
We're trying to help people out.
Positivity.
Yeah, positivity.
Mostly.
Yes.
Today's show aside.
I mean, we have to share reality. And a lot of times it's negative, but we try and put a positive slant on it. We do that.
Yeah. Almost everybody we bring in here for interviews are trying to do good things out there, or are doing.
Almost. All of them are.
All of them,
Yeah, all of them are. I mean, not a lot of them are nonprofits or foundations. You know, they're solo. But most of them are.
Yeah.
And
not every not just because a company is a nonprofit or not a nonprofit doesn't mean they're not doing things charitable.
Well, this is
things.
True.
Yeah. They're just different classifications.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we have 2 minutes left. We're crazy because today was a bit of a therapy session.
Sure went
for all
fast,
of us.
Man.
Tell me, is there anything you want to add to this this conversation?
It's kind of a downer today, but anyway, we were talking about the car crash, the limo crash in New York, where so many people were killed in one car. Think about it. You know, we only have a short time on this planet to where we can make a difference in people's lives. Make that difference, especially in your children's lives. Think about it. Something might happen. They might not be here tomorrow.
That's where it starts. You're right.
That's where it starts.
And if there's one thing we can do is start by doing more with our kids, being more involved in their lives.
Oh, yeah.
And being their friend, and you know, I know sometimes they say you can't be a parent, a friend, but you know what? The closer you are to your children, the more they trust you, the more they'll want to do the right thing.
That's true.
And I think that's going to be the starting point for most of us, is like focus on the things you can control, not the things you can't control.
This is true.
Because I feel like so much of this politics that we hear and see every day is so far out of our control. The only thing you could do is talk to your local senators, your local officials.
And you can try and make a difference with those guys, but you really can make a difference with those you love.
It all starts on a local level.
It really does.
You know, when it comes to changing things in the world.
Yeah.
The only thing we can do is stay active in a local sense.
Change you and change the people around you.
Yeah. And if you have more of an impact there, then there's a better chance that can get run up the chain and actually have a bigger impact.
But
if you're not doing anything on a local level and you really want to change things, then you're not helping the cause. You're just contributing to the melee.
Yeah, you're just complaining about it.
Thanks so much, Larry, for today.
Thank you, buddy.
Very interesting show.
Yep.
But again, sometimes these are necessary for us.
They are.
Next week, we'll have a guest. We'll be back in the same studio, same time. We hope you'll join us. We hope you've taken something from this show and brought it with you to do better.
Yeah, as always. Yep.
So we'll see you next week on People Helping People, Bali 92.3 FM.